you, Lord. I mean, I guess so. That's cool. Rochelle thinks so. Yeah. Oh, yes, I'm going to do it. Let's stand up again. Let's just stand up again. Okay, sit down. No, I'm playing. For real, stand up. I'm playing. They're like, did I go to Catholic church this morning? What's going on? Oh, that was offensive from the get-go. Lord, I repent. Just lift your hands for a second. Just raise them to Jesus. Lord, we welcome you to speak to our hearts tonight. Whoa, I want to read this just as your hands are raised. Micah 2:13, this is the Amplified. It says, the breaker, the Messiah, will go up before them. They will break through, pass through the gate and go out through it, and their king will pass on before them, the Lord at their head. You know God's name is the breaker. Someone say the breaker. And so, Lord, we thank you for you, the breaker, are in the room today. God, I thank you for the spirit of breakthrough being released over your people today. God, we thank you for breakthrough anointing. We thank you for the spirit and the angel of breakthrough coming to bring acceleration to the plans of God for people's lives. Where people have had that spirit of delay, we thank you for the breaker coming through, releasing acceleration over dreams, over destinies, and over callings. I thank you, God, over every person calling in this place. We release acceleration because the breaker is here today. In the name of Jesus, if you agree, shout amen. Amen. You can have a seat in the presence of the Lord. Turn your Bibles to the book of Numbers, Numbers 21. We're going Numbers. If you would like to date the person next to you, just let them know. I was looking through the book of Numbers and I realized it did not have yours. And while you're just turning there, you know what I'm saying? While you're... You're like, hey, is your name Faith? Because you're the evidence of things I've hoped for. You know what I'm saying? What? Did I do that? I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on today. We're like, if you want more, just come to second service. We're going to get into the word. Numbers 21, man, this is exciting. This morning, I want to speak a message called Defeating Despair, and we're going to just come straight right into Numbers chapter 21, and then we'll look at some of the context and what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart for us this morning. Numbers 21, we're going to begin in verse 4. Then they, this is Israel, journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. How many of y'all realize they're having a bad day right here? Verse 6, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Dang it. And they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. And their day got worse. You know what I say? In verse 7, then the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So verse 9, Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Come on, this is amazing stuff. This is a really powerful miracle right here. But let me give you some context, and then I'm going to tell you what I feel like the Lord is saying to us this morning. Israel, if you read chapter 20, because 20 comes before 21, and you get to know what they're going through. And this is a brief summary of chapter 21. Moses had just gotten told that he wasn't going to make it to the promised land because he didn't represent God well. You could read the story. Edom, basically, the reason why they had to go around the land of Edom was because they were trying to pass through the land of Edom. And they said, hey, do you guys mind if we go through your land? And they're like, no, you are not allowed to go through our land. And so Moses is like, hey, listen, we'll pay you money if we drink some of your water, if we do anything. No. And they came out with their whole army and got up in their face. And Moses is like, all right, we're not going through your land. Okay. And so that's why they had to go around. So they just got completely shut down. And then if you read right after that, Moses' brother Aaron dies because he misrepresented God. I mean, he's like, Aaron, go up to the top of the mountain and you're basically done. Take your priestly clothes and put it on your son. Then after this, some of y'all realize this is just like a, you know, lemony snickets, a series of unfortunate events. You know what I'm saying? And the king king of Arad comes and fights them. They're just minding their own business. They mourn for Aaron 30 days, and then he comes out and fights them. And they're like, Lord, will you deliver this guy into our hands? So they get a little bit of victory. And then after that, like I was saying, they had to travel around the land of Edom. So since Edom didn't let them travel through the land, they had to take a different and more difficult route. Now, here's the question. In regard to your calling, have you ever felt that you had a detour that was actually more difficult? Are you with me on this? Have you ever felt like you had a detour to your destination? It was not what you planned on. Come on, you know what I'm saying? We make plans. We're like, this is what's going to happen at this time. And when I'm this age, this is going to happen. And all of a sudden you got a detour and then it got harder. You know? So it was not what they planned on. It was actually more difficult. And it wasn't even their fault. You know what I'm saying? If it's my fault, I can own it. I can clean my mess. I can do the whole thing. But it's not even their fault. They're dealing with, they had to go around because of Edom. And guess what? They are 38 years into their journey in the wilderness. Someone say 38. And then say, Lord, have mercy. When you are in this scenario, it could be easy to complain. And this is what I feel like I want to bring to us this morning. Some of us may feel like we're in a situation where we feel delayed in our calling. Some of us might feel like we're in a situation that we're in a detour in life, that we feel like we cannot do what we're called to do, and we feel disqualified and discouraged. And the heart of today is to tell you that you still have a calling from God. Oh, that's good right there. Listen, when I was praying for you and praying for this message, I felt like this is the vision I had, and man, this is where I'm coming from in this, and I really feel like the Lord is here to put courage back in us today. And I was praying, and I saw this vision of a person with their heart that was literally ripped out of their chest and put on the ground. And they were like lifeless, and they were trying to move forward, but it was hard because their heart's on the ground. And then I asked the Lord said, ask me what happened. I was like, what happened, Lord? And he said, ask me why this happened. And I said, why did this happen? He said, they did it to themselves. And he said, the reason why is because they didn't think they could do their calling. And they got defeated and they got discouraged. They did it to themselves. And I said, why do they do that though? And he said, because they listened to the liar. And this is what he said. This is what I feel like the Lord has put on my heart. He said, because whenever you listen to the liar, you get steal, kill, and destroy as your fruit. Whoa. And this is what he said. I said, like, well, what do they need to do? And he said, they need to listen to me. Because when they hear my voice, the courage comes back into their hearts again. Their hearts automatically come off the ground back into their heart. Not because they try to do anything, but because they lifted up their eyes. And they saw me and they heard me. Are you with me today? And this is what I feel like the Lord is moving in our hearts today. I feel like the Lord is, there's some of us who've been really, really discouraged about our callings. And I feel like there's people in this room that they've had a call from God. There's been prophetic words. There's been, God has spoken to your heart. There's things that have been highlighted, but you feel kind of lifeless when you're moving towards what God has called you to do. And for some reason, it's like going through the motions. You know, you're doing the right things and you're saying the right things. You're singing the right songs. You're going to church. You're serving and all this stuff, but you still feel lifeless. And I feel like the Lord is coming to you today. His name is Breaker, by the way. And he's coming to put your heart back in your chest. And so that you're not just going through motions, but you're moving forward into God's destiny. Because how many of y'all realize if God doesn't do something, we're not making it to our destiny. This, like, God's dreams for our lives cannot be accomplished by our own efforts. God's dreams for our lives don't come by human strength and human ability. It's the touch of God on a man's life that gets him to places that he never could get on his own. It is the breaker. It is the kind of God who accelerates the move of God in our life. That, you know, for Israel, because they were complaining and they were completely off focus, their 40 days took 40 years to get where they were supposed to get. Oh, no one wants to say amen there. Okay. Listen, it could have only took 40 days to get to their promised land, but it took them 40 years because they were misfocused and they complained about every step of the way. It's craziness, man. But the Lord is here today. I'm telling you, if you feel like you're wandering through the desert and you're like 38 years in, so to speak, the Lord is coming to you today, and he wants to put your heart back in your chest and let you know that you still have a calling from God. You haven't gone too far. You haven't messed up too much. The despair hasn't overtaken you so much that your calling has expired. Your calling still is on the table for you to move into what God has called you to do today. Hallelujah. This is who God is. The breaker is here today to break through into your life. And the hindrances that have been on the road that you've been traveling on, the Lord is the breaker. And he's just, boom, just breaking stuff off of us so we can just accelerate right into our dreams and into our destiny. Are you with me on this? Like, I've been dreaming I got saved in 2001. So that's like almost 15 years, right? Like, September, so we're not in September yet, but that's like, is that right? 15 years? For 15 years, I've been dreaming about doing some stuff. And I'm telling you, just now, I'm seeing the fruit of things that I was dreaming 15 years ago. 15 years ago, I'm seeing some stuff. I got invited to go to Canada with Jeremy and to go lead worship at some conference, Jeremy Nelson, to go lead worship at conferences in Canada. And one of my favorite people, Claudio Frazon, if you know who he is, he's a revivalist in Argentina. He's speaking right before we're going on. But I'm telling you, I'm stepping into things. This is not an official announcement. Pretend you didn't hear this, but we're about to release wave after wave in about 2 months. It's going to be in your hand. It's not an official announcement. Don't tell anybody I said that. And I'm telling you, these are my dreams, okay? My dreams, like, we're the Lord is setting my life up so strategically, and there's no possible way that I could have ever done that in my own strength. How many of y'all realize when you try to push your own doors open, it just doesn't work? Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, the ones who are laboring labor in vain. You want to build your own kingdom, then you also have to sustain it. That's too much work for a human being. But when God does all the work, he gets all the glory and you get all the benefits. Whoa, that was a good word. And I'm telling you, I'm 15 years into this, and I'm just stepping into the dreams that I dreamt 15 years ago. I got a Passion Conference DVD, and this is Chris Tomlin and Louis Giglio and this Passion Movement. And they were doing a conference called One Day, and they were out in the field in the middle of Texas, and they had this huge open air arena, like open amphitheater thing, and there was a bird's eye view of people leading worship in a huge field, and Chris Tomlin was leading, and I looked at this picture and I was like, God, I want to do that. I want to do that. And 15 years ago, this is 15 years into it, and God is setting my life up to do things that I could have never done on my own. This is my calling, okay? And I'm telling you, for your lives, I'm telling you, if you stay true to the Lord through the 15 years and through the journey, because for them it was 38 years, I'm going to give you some keys to help you stay faithful through the journey. Because I'm telling you, for Israel, this was really, really hard. And for my life, there's been times that have been really, really hard. And I've had so many opportunities to give up, to let go, to get bitter and to get angry at people and to let that be a wall between me and my destiny. I've had so many opportunities to whine and complain about what I had instead of say thank you for what I do have. Like, what they had bread from heaven. Anyone have bread from heaven every single day for the last 38 years? Did you know that they had bread from heaven and their shoes and their clothes never wore out? Talk about supernatural prosperity. Talk about supernatural provision. And what's so crazy is they didn't see it. They didn't see it. They said, we don't have any food and water. And what's up with this worthless bread that we're eating? Whoa. How many of y'all realize that you need a little windshield wiper cleanup? You know what I'm saying? You're not seeing clearly, brother. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? You get your glasses in the shower and it just turns into a fog, you know? And you're like, I can't see anything. You know? And that's where these dudes were. In regard to their calling, they were on the way to their promised land, but they kept delaying their own destiny because of their focus and their complaining. Wow. And this is what the vision was. The Lord, this is crazy because we can blame the devil so many times for things that we're doing to ourselves. I'm telling you, I'm coming here to love you today, okay? I promise. I am loving you. And I'm telling you this also from experience, okay? So this isn't just like theory that I'm just throwing out there that I think it works. I'm telling you from experience. I've been these people. Like I've been the dudes who were like, I have everything handed to me, and that nasty spirit of entitlement gets on me and I act like I deserved all of it. Yeah. You with me? Yeah. And I've had to change my focus. I've had to change my speech, and I had to start saying thank you. And this is the heart of the Lord for us. I believe if you do these things, this is not like an infomercial, but I really believe that if you do these things, it will accelerate the calling of God on your life. I really believe it. I don't want to wander another lap around the desert, and I don't think anyone else in the room does either. It's hot, it's sticky, it's sweaty, it's stinky, and it's irritable. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about when it's like 100 degrees out like it was like 2 weeks ago and you don't have AC in your house or your car and you're like, oh, let's drive down the street. You're like, roll the windows down. Oh, it's hotter, you know, and you just want to punch everybody you see. You know what I'm saying? Like, anyway. Okay, we're going to do points. Number one, what you focus on, you empower. What you focus on, you empower. They cry out to Moses. Moses prays to God. Then the Lord tells him to make a serpent and put it on a pole, and the ones who've been bitten can look to it and live. What you focus on, you empower. Man, this was such a supernatural miracle. And this is the only requirement for the miracle. They just had to lift their eyes. That's all they had to do. Can you imagine? This is wild. Like, we read it like a story, but like, you're dying, and all you do is, and you're healed. That's all they had to do was lift their eyes. And I believe that the reason why they were complaining was because their focus was off. And because their focus was off, it was actually empowering despair in their life. You have to ask the question, what do you want more of in your life? Then focus and meditate on that thing, and that will increase in your life. What do you want more of? And they had to lift their eyes. For Israel, they had to stop looking at the serpents that were around them. They had to stop looking at the tragedy that was all around them. And they had to stop looking at the suffering that they were actually feeling. It was real feelings, and they had to look up. Oh, that's good, man. They had to stop looking at all the serpents that were around them. How many of y'all realize we talk about the devil, we give him way too much credit for what he's doing. But like, the devil did that, the devil did that. It like sounds like a bad worship song. You know what I'm saying? Like an inverse worship song. The devil did that. The devil did that. You know, you're like, what did God do? I don't know. That's probably a better way to look at it. You know, like, what is God doing right here? And they had to take their eyes off the serpents and look up. And they had to take their eyes also, they had to take their eyes off the tragedy that was all around them. How many of you realize that, man, we don't watch the news to get a belief system. We just get a pulse on what's happening in the world. We don't just go around spreading bad news. We have to take our focus off the tragedies that are happening around us and put our focus on the higher reality of the Word of God for our lives and the Word of God for our families and the Word of God for our city and the Word of God for our church. Be like, well, do you hear what happened to this person? Be like, I don't know, but I did hear the report of the Word of the Lord, that He is the Lord who heals. He is blessing, bless Him, the Lord, all my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your desires so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord does not treat us as our sins deserve, hallelujah, but as far as the east is from the west, He's removed them from us. God, this is the report that I'm going to tell. I'm going to send that news cast out. You know what I mean? I feel like the news channels would get even better press if they had like what I like to call a good news hour. How awesome would that be? A good news hour. Because some of y'all realize you turn the news on, it's like 95% bad stuff is going on in the world. And what does that do? It creates a belief system in you that the world is going down. And guess how now you approach the world? Like it's all going into a hell in a handbasket, and all of a sudden the world is doomed and all this. But I guarantee, what if you just had a good news hour and you just focused on any good thing that was happening in the community. And for a whole hour, they just said, yeah, such and such group is, you know, ministering to the nursing home, and such miracles are happening in this church. You know, praise the Lord, that'd be awesome. And such, you know, all these different things. What do you think that this kind of mindset would create in the people who watch it? Then all of a sudden they start thinking that the world actually is getting better instead of getting worse. And the kingdom of God is increasing. What did Isaiah prophesy about Jesus? Of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. The increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. That means the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy, is actually increasing every single day. And the world is getting better. Well, do you know who are the candidates for the next president? Did he just go there? I don't know, man. I think it might be better just to look at God. Because at the end of the day, is it really going to be a man that turns the pace? Or a woman? It's going to be the Lord. And it's just God's touch on a person. It's not the person. It's God's touch on the person. And so they had to lift their eyes off of the tragedies that were around them. And they also had to lift their eyes off the suffering that they were feeling. I'm not saying the suffering that you're feeling isn't real. I'm just saying you just can't focus on it. Because the more you do, you're actually giving into it. And you're empowering its influence in your life. This is what they had to do. They literally had to lift their eyes. And this is something they had to be intentional about it. And I believe that faith doesn't deny the existence of a problem. It just focuses on the greater reality of God's word. This is what Psalm 1 says. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And guess what happens when that is your focus? He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall... Let's say that word again. Prosper. Let's say it again. Prosper. Did you know prosperity is God's will for your life? Is that prosperity gospel? Yes, it is. Just in case anyone didn't like that, I'm telling you, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It prospers you spirit, soul, and body. It makes you better. Be like, is it just money? Not just money. It makes you better spirit, soul, and body. Beloved, I pray that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. This is the will of God for your life. And do you want to know what actually helps accelerate the promises of God in your life when you're focusing on them? This is what we just read it right there. Psalm 1, when you meditate on the law day and night, he'll be like a tree planted by streams of water, and you'll be fruitful. You'll be immovable. Your leaf will not wither, and whatever you do shall prosper. Whatever you put your hand to, it's like the Midas touch. Hallelujah. Whatever you touch, this turns to gold. I'm telling you, you start believing this stuff. You know, someone has a sermon called Good Things Happen to People Who Believe That God Loves Them. I love that stuff, man. I'm telling you, you start believing this stuff, then all of a sudden, not only do you start seeing it happen, but you actually become a magnet for it. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You actually become a magnet to the blessings of God when you focus on the promises of God. Amen, amen, man, amen. What you focus on, you empower. Israel had to change their focus. Philippians 4:8 says it again. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The Greek word literally means to take an account of these things. You ever heard that, count your blessings? This literally what meditate means. It means to take an account of everything that you've had. And he's saying, look at your life. Focus on the goodness of God. Focus on how he's been good to you. Focus on the testimonies. I just was writing a song like last week, and I was just so excited because I was feeling this thing, this despair closing in on me. And then I picked up my guitar. I'm telling you, nothing worked. Like, nothing worked like this worked. All I did was pick up my guitar, and I started singing about the finished work of the cross and how that Christ has raised us up and seated us in heavenly places. And I just, spontaneously out of my heart, I was like, I just started singing, you've been good, you've been good, you've been good to me, my soul will sing of you. And I'm telling you, I just kept singing that over and over. You've been good. You've been good. You've been good to me. My soul will sing of you. Hey, sing that with me. Come on. You've been good. You've been good. You've been good to me. My soul will sing of you. One more time. You've been good. You've been good. You've been good to me. My soul will sing of you. I'm just singing this song for like, I don't know, like 10, whatever, 50, whatever it was, minutes. And I'm telling you, all of a sudden, I literally experienced the blessing of what you focus on, you empower, and the thing lifted right off of me. I'm like, God, you have been good. I like the will be good and you are, but this have been thing focuses on the testimony and taking account of the things that are true and noble and praiseworthy and of good report and pure and awesome and all the things that I look back, God, you've been good. Have you done that? You take an account of your past history. Like, thank you, Jesus, I didn't die there. Thank you, Jesus, that I didn't do that. And thank you, Jesus, that even when I did that, you still hug me. You've been good to me. My soul will sing of you. You know, worship is one of the best ways to meditate on the truth of God. And I think it was St. Augustine that says, when you sing, you pray twice. And there's something about worshiping God. You've been good, or that King of My Heart song, you are good, good, oh, you know, you're never gonna let me down. Come on, man. That's why when you come into a corporate worship setting and you're worshiping, you actually feel good. One time I was driving down, okay, I'm gonna hurry up. All right. One time I was driving down, I have fun and I'm like, Lord, the clock, that demon. No, I'm just kidding. I'm messing. I was just driving to go meet someone and I was like, and it was in San Diego. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna pray. Like, this is awesome. Like, how many of y'all realize, like, you know, Ephesians 5 says, redeem the time for the days are evil, this whole thing. So I'm like, you know, when you're sitting there, like, you got a long road trip, you're like, dude, this is God time. You know what I'm saying? Like, sitting there waiting for your oil to get changed, waiting for your car to get fixed. You're like, dude, this is God time. Like, what else do I have to do but to be with the Lord? So I'm like, I'm just going to take time and drive on my drive down to city. I'm just going to pray. And I felt like the Lord said, don't pray. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to pray. And he was teaching me Philippians 4:8. And it basically, he was just saying, like, just think good thoughts. This, I'm telling you, I'm not trying to be new age. We just read it in Philippians 4:8, okay? He just said, start thinking positive things and watch how your body responds. And I'm telling you, as I was driving down, I don't know, for me, sometimes I feel stress in my stomach. And as I started to think the good things, like, God, I'm your son, I'm loved, and in my mind, I'm thinking these things, I could actually feel my body start responding. Because what you focus on, you empower. It's time to stop meditating on the evil forebodings. To stop meditating on what evil thing could happen to you or the what ifs, and don't even go down those paths. Israel had to change their focus, and it literally brought supernatural health to their lives. And I believe it's the same for us, that when we focus on the goodness of God, despair just can't stay. Number two, what you listen to forms your beliefs. What you listen to forms your beliefs. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. You see the connection? Faith comes by hearing. Your belief systems are formed by what you're hearing. This is stuff we have to be super intentional on. You want to overcome despair, then don't listen to anything contrary to God's truth for your life. And the thing is, man, I think about David and I go like, man, I believe that the reason why David could defeat Goliath is because he wasn't listening to his torments for the 40 days before. He was actually in a secret place with the Lord and doing that, I love you, you love me, you know, we're a happy family thing with the Lord. Just, I'm my beloved's and he is mine. This whole, you know what I'm saying? He's just loving on God and he's in this realm. I'm telling you, the glory of God, the realm of his presence, you start thinking like God. And God is the breaker. He's the kind of God who always finds a way out for you. Like, he's the kind of God who makes a path in the wilderness, who makes streams flow in the wilderness and makes a way where there wasn't a way. And you get around him, you start thinking like him. So David is hanging out with the breaker, and then he comes on the scene and Goliath starts taunting, and he was like appalled, like, what did you just say? Like, what? Sometimes the challenge for us is that when we hear negative things come in our mind, like this is the way that the thing is, sometimes the evil spirits actually give us their thoughts, and to try to deceive us, they put them in the first person so that way we think they came from us. Did you catch what I just said? And sometimes they're giving us their thoughts, and so we start thinking things like, I can't do this. I hate my life. I've failed. I've messed up. I hate that person. Or, I mean, maybe not that intense. So they don't really love me. They don't really care about me. And all the while, that thought didn't really come from you, because that's not who you are. That's not your new creation nature. It was just an evil spirit trying to give you his thought. And if you agree with it, you give it power. And all of a sudden, you start believing that you can't do it. And then your heart comes out of your chest and it's lifeless. But the Lord is here. And I'm telling you, if we shift our focus, what we listen to forms our belief systems. And when I say listen to, I mean submit to, I mean adhere to. Some of us have been bitten by snakes, and their poison is speaking lies to us. But the truth is, I want to free you today. It's not you and it's not God. It's just the poison of the snakes today. Just like these guys got bit and they were dying, and this whole thing, some of it actually can even come from embittered people. Acts 14:2 says, but the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles, and look at this verse, poisoned their minds against the brothers. You see that? The Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Sometimes it's actually coming from embittered people, and people who've been wounded by church speak against church. Hey. And that spirit of unbelief, that spirit of doubt is poisoning people's minds. And the thing is, we can't control what we hear, but we can control what we agree with. This is true, that what you don't know actually can hurt you. Because how many don't realize, like, if you have the truth of God as a foundation in your heart, then when people start saying stuff like that, all of a sudden you're like, wait, ding, 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 ding.
That's not true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and all of a sudden, you're able to be like, hey, bro, like, man, I see that you're going through a really tough time. Can I hug you? No, I don't know. Can I pray with you? Let's talk about this. Let's go through this. It sounds like you're really hurting. Instead of agreeing with their bitterness, agreeing with the stuff, and then all of a sudden, their poison that was in them gets inside of you, and now you don't like people too. You know what I'm saying? Do you get what I mean? And this is the deal, that it's time that our beliefs start forming around the unchanging nature of our God, and let our beliefs form victorious mindsets in us. There's something about obviously reading the word and listening to sermons, but man, this is something we've been experiencing with the Crux, is the community aspect. There's something so powerful that when I don't believe in me, someone else in my community does. And we've been doing this, we've been doing this series in our college group called The Summer of Love, and it's all really about experiencing God's love for us, loving ourselves, and being able to love the world. And we're in this moment of just really experiencing love, but through the person who's sitting next to me. And we're able to sit there. I mean, we're just like having group discussion last week, and we're just sitting there, and they're like, you know what, let's do this for Andrew. Let's ask God what feature about Andrew that God really likes. Because we're talking about loving ourselves and loving our own body and our body image and stuff. And by the way, David Knox preached an amazing message last Thursday. If you would like to hear it, you can go to the Crux Cast. Yes, that is an advertisement, because David Knox is a really good preacher. And so they started doing it. And my community, that my friends around me started telling me things that God likes about me. And I can't even tell you how empowering it was. And it was crazy, because the things that they were telling me were things that I already had God talk to me about. So it was just this amazing confirmation. And God was just speaking to me. And all the junk that I could feel, the word of God just melts it right off. And what I listen to forms my beliefs. And when I choose to agree with the truth of God that's coming out of my friends and my community, then all of a sudden, I'm empowered again. And I can run towards my calling, because when I think I can't do it, I have some friends who tell me I can and smack me around a little bit like, dude, knock it off. Do you know who you are? You know what I'm saying? Like, your friends like Rafiki in Lion King. You know what I'm saying? Do you know who you are? You know. It has to get in there, dude. It has to. Lion King has to. And they just come alongside you. Do you guys have friends like that? Who can just remind you of who you are and don't let you go down to that, to the negative valley and start rehearsing all the junk? Ooh, what you listen to forms your beliefs and directly affects your destiny. Number three, and this is the last thing we'll land on this, is that thank you cleanses your lenses. And what I found, and I may be wrong, but what I found is when I'm reading through the scriptures and I'm in the book of Leviticus right now. Thank you, Lord. And, you know, how many weeks ago I was reading through Exodus when they first got manna. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but I haven't read anywhere yet where Israel said thank you for the manna. I haven't read anywhere yet where they said thank you for the quail. Thank you for the water that came out of a rock. I might have missed it, but I haven't read anywhere where they said thank you. Only complaining is recorded. And they complained because they weren't seeing properly. And I'm telling you, the quickest way to cleanse your lenses is to say thank you. On the contrary, when you look, and this is in John 6:11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them. When he was feeding the 5,000, 5,000 plus people, do you know what he had to deal with? 5 pieces of bread and 2 pieces of fish. But Jesus said, thank you. That's a clean heart. That's a pure heart. That's a heart that's not clouded by despair. That's not a heart that's clouded by impossibility. That's not a heart that's clouded by fear and what if, and I can't do this. How many of y'all realize in the natural, that's impossible? But Jesus somehow found a way to say thank you, because he wasn't focused on man's inability. He was focused on God's ability to put his touch on the natural and make it supernatural. And he's like, oh, that's enough for me. 5 pieces of bread, 2 pieces of fish for 5,000 plus people. It's good. And I just think that some of us have had some clouded lenses because we've been looking at what we have and complaining over its inability to produce our calling and to get us to where we need to go. Does that make sense? And I feel like the Lord is wanting to just encourage us. We're like, hey, not only lift your eyes and change your focus on what you're listening to, but let's just say thank you. God, thank you for the journey. Thank you for where I've met on the journey right now, Lord. Thank you for where you've brought me from. Thank you for what you have provided. Thank you for the miracles along the way. Thank you that I didn't die when I was supposed to die. Thank you that you healed my body. Thank you that my sins are forgiven. Thank you that you lifted off that condemnation off of my life. Thank you that when you think of me, you think good thoughts. God, thank you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace. That word is shalom. Shalom means total well-being, health, prosperity, and total well-being. Like, it's just the best Hebrew word in the world. This is what God thinks about when he thinks of you. He sees you at your very best. He sees you in your destiny. He sees you healing the sick and raising the dead. He sees you ministering in your platform, in your realm of influence, loving people, releasing the kingdom of God, making the world a better place because God lives inside of you. He sees you with the breaker inside of you, releasing breakthrough to other people around you. This is God. When God thinks about you, Jeremiah 29:11, when God thinks about you, he thinks thoughts of peace and not of evil. God, thank you that when you think of me, you see me in my destiny. God, thank you when you look at me, you see a beloved son. Woo! Woo, that's good. Thank you, God. When you see me, God, you see a man of valor. When you looked at Gideon, you said, mighty man of valor, and he didn't believe in himself, but you saw something worth believing in. Oh, thank you that when you see me, you see a beloved son. You see a beloved daughter. Thank you that when you see me victorious. God, thank you, you see me healed. God, thank you. You see me overcoming. God, thank you. Thank you for who I am in you. Woo! Thank you cleanses your viewpoint. Can you imagine what would happen if Israel said, what, we get bread from heaven every day? Woo! I don't have to worry about calories. I don't have to worry about getting, you know, overweight or whatever. Like, thank you, Lord. It's organic. It's supernatural. It's amazing. And my clothes aren't wearing out. I am so blessed. Oh, it's like that old Pentecostal song. When I think about his goodness and what he's done for me. Woo! Hallelujah. Can you imagine how quick they would have got to the promised land? If they would have said, ah, hey, Jedediah, look at this. I got bread from heaven. Dude, that's a nice shirt, man. You've been wearing that for 20 years. Whoa. How good is our God? And their day-to-day life turned into a praise, turned into a praise and worship session because they're so amazing. God was walking with them through every step of the way. Oh my God, can you imagine? And I believe that if you do these things, I'm telling you, if you do these things, it'll accelerate your destiny. The only reason why it took them 40 years is because they didn't believe they could do it. In Numbers 14:22, you can write this later and check it out. The Lord says specifically, because they did not heed my voice. What you listen to forms your beliefs. Come on, man. What records are playing in your head over and over? I don't know about you, but I get that goodness of God one, and I just, boom, just put it on repeat. Loop that thing. I'm blessed. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm coming over and I'm not going under. Ooh, whatever I put my hand to prospers. I'm blessed in my coming. I'm blessed in my going. Woo! I'm encouraged. I don't know about you, but I feel encouraged. Oh yeah, I forgot to tell you why this passage in Numbers is so powerful. I forgot to tell you this part. John 3, 14 and 15. Jesus says, like, can we put that up there in John 3, 14? Because I forgot what it said. And Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, that's the context. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just keep going. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he got bit by the snake, you're dying already. But if you believe in him, if you lift up your eyes to him, you're not condemned because you believe. And when you believe, you're not perishing, but have eternal life. Wait a second. You're telling me that a serpent was a type of Christ? Yes, a serpent was, and it was bronze. And this is why it's so crazy. This is why this passage in Numbers is amazing, because it's preaching the gospel to us today. Moses made a bronze serpent, and a serpent represents a curse. It was the first cursed animal, and bronze, it represents judgment. And when Moses made this thing, he had to beat the serpent into its form. He had to beat him into the form, and then he lifted him up. Jesus said, just like that, that's what's going to happen to me. Jesus was beaten, and he took all the curse that ever came upon you. He took all the judgment that you deserve for your sin, and he was lifted up so that way you could be blessed. He took your curse so you could be blessed. He took your judgment so you could be set free. He was beaten and bruised by the punishment that brought us peace, was placed upon him. Come on, somebody. And by his stripes, we are healed. Hallelujah. Whoa. This is why when they looked at it, they were living people. They get restored to health because they were looking at Jesus. That's why that verse is really good. I forgot to tell you about that. Here's the deal. I want to pray for you. If you are in this place and you've been dealing with despair in regards to your calling, I want you to stand and I'm going to pray with you today. It could be all of us. It could be half of us. I don't really care. This is what the Lord, I feel like the Lord wants me to do. So if you've been dealing with despair in regards to your calling, just stand. All this stuff is good for you, but I'm telling you, this is what I feel like the Lord wants me to do right now. Just lift up your hands to the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we release your presence over your people. And I rebuke that spirit of delay that's been on your people. I rebuke it in Jesus' name, and I command it to be lifted off. And I release the breaker on your people right now. In Jesus' mighty name, I prophesy to your calling that you have a calling from God. All things are possible with God, and all things are possible to him who believes. And I declare over you that you believe. You believe. You have faith. It is possible to fulfill your calling. It is possible to follow your God-given dreams. It is possible for God to set you up in a way that you could have never done on your own. I declare over you, mighty man, mighty woman of valor, it is not about going through the emotions anymore, but the resurrection power of God is on your life. And I release over you the life and the blessing. Do not quit on your destiny. What the enemy meant for harm, God, I declare, is turning around for your good. You live like you're called. You live like you have a mission and a purpose. I prophesy to you, you wake up every day like you have a calling. You wake up every day like you're doing something significant in the world. You wake up every day knowing that you're fully alive in Christ. And I bless your people. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, release your spirit of breakthrough on every person's destiny in this room. I ask in Jesus' name that you release an acceleration over our destiny. We thank you. We thank you for what you've done for us in times past. And we thank you for moving not only the people in this room, but at Summit Church from this season to our next season. I see the transition moving in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for the next season of Summit Church. We prophesy and we call it forth. I see the church moving like a train into the next season, turning the page in Jesus' name. So not only to you guys' personal destiny, but to the destiny of Summit Church, we prophesy the shift. We prophesy the shift and the acceleration. God, I thank you for the harvest season. Send your harvest angels. Send the ones who gather. Send the angels, oh God. Send the gathering angels. Send the spirit of breakthrough. Send the spirit of acceleration. God, every single angel that can do this stuff, we ask you, oh God, to release it over our church, to release it over our pastors, to release it over our region. God, we want to see a move of God like the Jesus People movement. We don't want to wander around anymore in the desert. We're thanking you for where we've come from, and we're thanking you for where we're at today. But God, we're looking ahead. We're looking ahead at the plans and the promises that you have for San Marcos, for Cal State San Marcos, for San Diego region, and for our cities, for our businesses, God, for our families. We release the promises of God in the name of Jesus. Accelerate, accelerate, accelerate. And if you agree, shout yes. And give God thanks and praise today. Oh, we thank you. Come on, don't stop. Just thank him. Just thank him. We thank you for the prayer, all the things that you've done for us. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, just a little more. I just believe there's something. The breakthrough is in the praise. The breakthrough is in the praise. The breakthrough. Come on, just thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the bread from heaven. Thank you for the water from the rock. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for the debts canceled. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for the breakthrough in our lives. Woo! Amen. I feel like we could keep going, but we have another service. I love you people. You guys are amazing. Listen, prayer team, please come forward. If you're like, man, I would love to continue to pray with people on this thing, then come forward and let someone pray with you. I just bless you guys in the name of Jesus. Go into your dreams. Go into your destiny. Amen.